I'd like to look at something here in Matthew chapter 13, give a little bit of an introduction here, be a little bit about what the church family heard earlier today, but for the young people that are here, and just a little bit of a reminder where we're going with this theme of Rise Up. And the title of this afternoon's message is How to Build. And it's how to build, and I just want to encourage you that, you know what, we have a lot to grow with and a lot of things that we could work on. And when you think about a song, we talk about reaching a goal, talk about there's an eternal home. You're right, we're going to get there, we're going to love it, it's going to be great, face to face, we're going to get to see Him. The songs we've been singing, talking about getting there someday, but what are we going to do while we're here? What is it that we're going to, God did not save us to just stay and remain where He at. He wants to build us. He wants us to be growing. It's His intention. It's no ordinary race. It's not something that everybody is going to run. It's not something that you're going to see. It's common. As a Christian, you have a race that's put before you. You're supposed to run that with patience. And as we heard the youth choir singing, we need to keep running. We need to keep running. We don't need to give in. And here's the thing is, let's set some goals. Let's seek God's face. Let's ask God. And be honest with you, probably we already know some of the things that we need to grow in. We probably know that we need to be better maybe in our prayer closet, or better with our scripture knowledge, or a better husband, a better wife, children, better grandparents, better. There's a long list of things that many of us could be working on. So instead of just letting another year go by, let's set some tangible goals that we can say, God, I believe You want me to do this. Seek God's face. Ask God. We're going to be learning that as time goes along. Next week, we're going to talk about but the burden that you see, and that's going to be in the book of Nehemiah, and there's going to be different things we're going to help you walk through this. But so what do you want to take from today? I want us to have a tender heart to be open to whatever God wants. That's it for the beginning. The first thing you do this year is just say, Lord, whatever You want in 2016, it's Yours. I'm willing to do it. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 13. And we see in the story here about Jesus talking about His church here. Actually, it's Matthew chapter 16. I'm sorry. It's verse 13, chapter 16. I didn't have it written down because I had it this morning. I apologize for that. Matthew 16. Yeah, I want you guys, we're going to read through this story, going to walk through the passages of Scripture very quickly, and then we're going to get to the book of Nehemiah talking about how to build. Matthew 16, verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And this is where it starts. This is the beginning. Who is Jesus Christ to you? And, you know, this is the question that we need to ask personally. We need to ask to this church. It's the idea of the last year, the proper vision. If you have the right vision of God, you know what? Everything else is going to fall in place. Who is Jesus Christ to you personally? And who is Jesus Christ to our church? That's the question that you can ask anyone. You can ask the Buddhists that. You can ask the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, usually what a person thinks about Jesus Christ will tell you whether or not they're truly a Christian or not. And it's important to understand here, and this is what Jesus is trying to enforce into their hearts, enforce into their minds, who am I? It didn't really matter what everybody else thought. He was trying to build on an answer here. He's trying to get these disciples to understand, you know, that I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. Now, this is what I want you to do. So we have to settle this in our heart. We have to settle this in our mind. Who is Jesus Christ? And that's why He's asking this question. You know, did He need to know that answer? Did He not already know what men thought about Him? He's God. He knows everything. He knew everything that was ever going to happen. He knew those men were coming into the garden. He already knew this. So what is He doing? He is teaching them something here. Ask yourself this question. Whom do men say that the Son of Man I am? And then they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so you're seeing here, they're confused. Some people out there are confused, but He's not worried about them right now. Verse 15, He puts it back on them. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I don't want you to worry about everybody else. I want you to focus on you, and who do you personally think I am? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Because you know what? If He is just a carpenter, if He was just a good man, if He was just another human being, you know what? We shouldn't even worry about rising up and building. We shouldn't even care about really what a man 2,000 years thinks or thought. But if he is the Son of God and he did come and die for our sins and he provides a salvation and he sits on the right hand throne of God and he is high and lifted up today, you know what? He deserves everything we can offer him. As I mentioned this morning, one of the things that concerns me is, do we want to remain in a maintenance mode or do we want to grow? Do we want to stay in a maintenance mode where we are just happy and we are satisfied with where we're at and we don't think we need to grow one bit? Because that's what happens to many churches today. That's what happens with many ministries. Over and over, they just say, you know what? We're here. We like the people here. We like our people. We like the programs we have. Let's just be satisfied and not grow. That's not what God wants. And once again, I'm not talking about adding new programs. We're not talking about building a gymnasium. I'm talking about in our lives, he desires that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has a desire and his intention is for us to build. His intention was for us to see people saved. His intention was us to go out into the world. His intention, like you see him using those first century Christians, he is building his church. He is building his church through the apostles, a bunch of fishermen, a tax man. He is building his church. He is building. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to use us to build his church. And we cannot be satisfied. We must press forward. We must keep on running. We can't sit on the sidelines, because if we sit on the sidelines, you know what's going to happen? It's like we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning. There are some orchards out there where fruit is bearing and fruit is growing. But there's other orchards when they don't get the water and the nutrients they need, they die. They become bitter. They become fragile. And they do not produce fruit. And you know what? When a person who is not trying to grow, you know what's going to happen? They're going to die. They're going to die spiritually. I know once you're a Christian, you're saved, you're on your way to... I get that. But are you really satisfied with where you're at? We should be always seeking, always growing, always wanting to learn. You know, Paul, even after he knew probably more than anybody else, says, that I may know him. I want more. I need to know more. I am not... He is God. He deserves my everything. He deserves for me to grow. He deserves for me to allow him to build my life so he can use it for his honor and for his glory. Let's keep on going. Verse 16 says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And this is why I want you to understand. I want God to reveal unto us this year what he wants us to grow in. I want us to lay ourselves on the altar, give our heart over to him, say, God, I know you want me to grow. Lord, I don't know what it is exactly you want me to grow at. I know there might be some sins in my life I need to get rid of, but there are some areas I know you don't want me to be the same as I was last year. Help me to grow this year. Let God reveal that unto you. It wasn't flesh and blood that revealed it. It was God. And in verse 18, this is where I want to spend just a minute. It says, and I say unto thee, also unto thee, that thou art Peter. And he points to them and he says, and upon this rock, and he points to himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here's three things I want you to see here in just that verse. First of all, I want you to see it's a personal promise. It is a personal promise. He says, and upon this rock, I will build my church. So I want you to think of Jesus Christ is saying, look, Peter, I am going to build this church upon this rock. So I want you to understand the foundation. And this is an important part. There'll probably be a sermon sometime later. You got to have the right foundation. The foundation is going to have to be Jesus Christ. Because if the foundation isn't Jesus Christ, when the winds and the storms and the rains come, you know, the foundation isn't right. The house is not right. The house is going to fall. And great is the fall of it. But he says, I will build my church. This is not you going home and saying, you know what? Maybe I should do this a little bit better. Maybe I should do this a little. No. It's allowing God to have complete control of your life and saying, Lord, I want you to build me. I want you to do. He knows exactly what you need. And he's saying, I will. This is Jesus saying, Peter, you don't have to worry about figuring this out. Because remember later on in this conversation, Peter says, you're not going to die. I would never let that happen. He's like, hush, just be quiet. I will build my church. You don't have to go to the world's methods. You don't have to turn here. You don't have to. I'm going to build my church. All you have to do is allow me to build it. And he says, I will build my church. And he also, it's a positive one. It's I will. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is going to come back someday. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. It is a positive message. He says, I'm going to do this. Either you get on board and you be a part of it, or you can sit over there and you die. You don't produce fruit. You just sit over there on the sidelines and you wither away and you become not what a Christian is supposed to be, not what you were saved to become. You just sit over there and you just wither, you wilt, and you see those trees. They're like, why doesn't somebody just put it out of his misery and put it to death? And sometimes that's what God does. He says he takes it away. And so he says, I will. He says, this is positive. I am going to do this. Are you going to be a part of it? This is what I saved you for. This is the purpose why you're here. Bring glory to me. Now, do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to grow? Remember, the first century church, they had the right vision. They had a proper vision. They said, you know what, Lord, we're in. I'm just a fisherman, but I'm going to surrender everything I got to you. And then God can take that and uses that to turn the world upside down. It's a positive message. And it's also a permanent message. You see here it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I like that. No matter what the devil does, no matter how big the guns are that he brings out, and no matter what he tempts us with, nothing he can do is going to prevail against his church. And I am so thankful to know that I do not have to sin. I am not under the bondage of sin. I choose to live for God, or I choose to do wrong. But the gates of hell cannot prevail against this church, and that we can have victory. You can grow this year. You do not have to stay the way you've been. It says, I've been this way for 5 years. I've been this year for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And it's so discouraging to see a Christian that's been saved for 40 years and they're at the same level. It's sort of like a child that maybe when they hit 2 years old, they stop growing. And you look at them and say, what a sad case. That's what Christians are many times. They get at a certain level and they get the wrong view of God and they're like, I'm going to heaven. I come to church. I'm faithful. No. He wants us to grow. He wants us to produce the fruits of the Spirit. So let's go to Nehemiah and we're going to learn a little bit about how to build. And then we'll be done. I want you to remember that those words, I will build. Because there was a couple, whenever you have certain themes and certain thoughts, you know, rise up and build. Growing was another thought. You know, I will build. All those different things had the same connotation. Jesus Christ wants us to grow. He does not want us to stay the same. He wants us to grow more than we were last year. He wants us to learn more than we knew. And here's the thing is, we want to keep on maintaining, or do we want to build? It's the case if we've come down to this point. In my Christian life, do I just want to keep on maintaining? Do I just want to keep on doing the motions? As I mentioned today, you know, you say, of course I want to build. Well, we all know that building, as I mentioned earlier, means that you have to risk something. Building means that there is going to be work and effort. Building can be strenuous. Building can be messy. Building can be tiring. Building can be problem laden. Building sometimes draws criticism. Sometimes it stresses you. But maintaining is much easier. It's not always easy, but it's more predictable. If we do not try to do anything or tempt anything for God, you know what's going to happen? We're just going to stay the same. It's certainly less demanding. But Jesus said, I will build my church. So here's some things that Nehemiah faced. These are just going to touch on them really quickly because of the fact that these are things we will expound on a little bit more. But if we're going to build, the first thing is we're going to build with prayer. We're going to build with prayer. You look at Nehemiah chapter number 1. And, you know, once again, he said, I will build my church. He's talking about upon himself, the rock. We have the right foundation. But it comes that he hears something. There's people who come in and he asks how the affairs of Jerusalem are going. He does not like what he hears. And this brings him to prayer. Look what it says. It says in verse number 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now here's the keys. Nehemiah, prayer was not a mere ritual for him. It was pouring out a heartfelt burden. He wept. He mourned. He fasted. His was the prayer of an exercised soul, moved with a heart for God's glory and a compassion for God's people. If we're going to build, we must do the talk about prayer. We must do more than just talk about praying. We must pray. If we really truly want to see something, we're going to have to get a burden. And like I said, this will be next week's message as we look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah's heart was broken. And what does this take him to? If you're going to rise up and build, you're going to have to see that it's important. You're going to have to see there's a reason to do this. Nehemiah's heart was completely broken because he knew that Jerusalem was set aside for God. It's the place where he said he was going to be. He was going to put his name, and the temple was going to be there, and the walls are going to be there. But you know what? His heart is broken. And what does that do? It causes him to pray. If we're really truly going to rise up and build, it begins by building with prayer. We can't do this without him. Do you long to see the community reach for Jesus Christ? Do you long to see greater spiritual growth in your church and in your home, in your Sunday school class, maybe on your bus route? Are you praying with a fervent intensity? Remember, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we go to Nehemiah and says, well, how are we going to build? How are we going to rise up? The first thing is we do that by praying. You can't separate it. The next thing I want you to think about is we build with purpose. Building with purpose. You know, no builder worth his license slaps materials together without a goal in mind. No one will go out and say, we'll just see how it works out and just throw it together. You know, lots of times a builder will lay all his things together and he'll have a plan, he'll have a purpose, he'll have something up there that he has designed in his mind. This is what we're going to build. And Nehemiah, he had a goal. There was a purpose. We often call this vision. Spiritual goal is often called a vision, and some people call their New Year celebration services vision services because it's casting a vision for the year. It's looking in faith beyond where you stand today to build God's work for God's glory in the future. And that's what we're trying to establish. What is God wanting me to do in 2016? We talked about maybe fixing our bank accounts. Maybe we talked about getting a little bit healthier. Maybe we've taken some different things on to establish his goals. What is it God wants me to do in 2016? What is his purpose? Look what it says in Nehemiah 2:10. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. He had a purpose. He came to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. You look at verse number 17. He has a purpose. It says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waits, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. He's saying, look at this city. Look, this was God's chosen city, and it is a reproach. It is sitting there, and it is a wasteland. And he said, we got to do something about this. And if we have a purpose, if we would take our city and say, God has put us here in Elizabeth City for such a time as this, and be focused on the purpose of seeking the spiritual welfare of the people of this city, it would change our lives. If we would be willing to build with a purpose. Our purpose cannot to be bring glory to ourselves. Our purpose cannot to make life easier for ourselves. We have to have that right vision of God. God has a plan. He is high. He is exalted. He is lifted up. Christ is our foundation. Now we build. We rise up and do what he wants us to do. It's more important to realize the vision is not just for someone else to do. It's for personal involvement. Nehemiah does not just assign the work. He actually leads the work. And this is important to understand. Don't just say, that sounds good for the teenagers. Well, I think we should hit the kids hard about what they need to change. No, this is having purpose in our life. Why am I here? Why did God save me? Why does he put me in Elizabeth City? Does he want me to rise up and build? Not only do they build with purpose and prayer, they also build with persistency. Persistency. They're building with persistency. Look at verse number 18. It says, then I told them of the hand of my God. Now, this is Nehemiah talking to the people that are there with him, and that he's showing them the burden. He's showing them the need. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. He's telling them, listen, this is the the leadership. This is what God has shared with me. And then he says, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You know, they came and as they built with prayer and they built with purpose, there was going to be criticism. And if you go and you try to establish a life this year that you're going to rise up and you're going to build and you're going to try to grow as a Christian, it's going to take work, it's going to take effort, and it's going to take consistency. It's going to take persistency. You know, criticism is going to come. Well, who says you have to do this? Or who says you have to do that? And there's a number of people, and you're going to see in the story of Nehemiah that he was pushed. He was persistent. Verses 19 and 20, he's ridiculed. Look what it says here in 19 and 20, towards the halfway through the passage, he says, when people heard of it, he said, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Why ye rebel against the king? And then answered I them and said unto him, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. He says, look, you don't have to worry about us. You can criticize us. You can laugh at us. You can scorn us. But God's the one that's going to prosper us. You go to chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Once again, he is attacked. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they are not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass, when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, for all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places, behind the wall, and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families, and their swords, and their spears, and their bows. People were coming to discourage him. They were threatening him. They were tempted to compromise. In chapter number 6, Nehemiah is given this challenge, and he's saying, they send messengers, and they're asking Nehemiah to come meet with them. And they're saying, here, look, can't we just sit down together? Can't we work together? It says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Here it is. He's saying, hey, look, I can't stop. The work that I'm doing is too important. It is too great. He says, I am doing a great work. If we're going to rise up and build this year, we're going to be persistent. We're going to say, this is important. This is God's desire. This is what I want to do to make him honored and pleased in my life. Apostle Paul, he was faced with so much criticism. He was faced with so much persecution. He was faced with so much temptation. But he still said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received to the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And he had the mindset. Nehemiah had the mindset. The best way to deal with criticism is to accomplish your task. If you have somebody sit there, you can't do it, you can't do it. The best way to shut them up is by doing it. I want to accomplish a work for God. I don't want to be a Christian who simply maintains. I want to be a Christian that builds. I want to be a Christian that grows. So the question is, and the challenge that's brought forward this year is, are we going to maintain or are we going to try to grow? Once again, my interest is not to add people to our church. Do I want to see people added to our church? Yes. Do I want to see people saved? Yes. Do people get discouraged about church attendance being 5 or 10 down than it was this past summer? Yes. What are we doing to change that? Are we building our own lives, making it a point to where God can use us to help grow this church? And that's what he did within the book of Acts. All they did was, God, here's my life. You take it. You use it. And they turn the world upside down. You know, we come to this spot. Are we willing to rise up today? There's a challenge that's put there. In our lives, when is the last time we spent a whole year trying to grow our Christian walk? Trying to step up or rise up, whatever way you want to put it. Get out of where we are at. Nehemiah was in a comfortable place. He was the the cupbearer for the king. He had a very high and lifted up position. He was very comfortable. But his homeland, his Jerusalem, it was wasted. And I look around this world today, and I look around our city, and there is much, much that needs to be done. And we kind of stop looking at it as just, it's me, my, and my few friends. God's put us here in the city to reach this city for God. But we need to rise up and build our own lives so we can grow, so we can bring other people in. So this afternoon, question is, are you willing to build, or are you going to try to spend this year maintaining? Once again, you say, well, what's wrong with maintaining? It's not God's intention. He said, I will build my church. He says, growing in the grace and knowledge. He wants us to grow as Christians. The question is this year, am I going to maintain or am I going to grow? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.